to the left, McLaren. And that's where Jaden Daniels is eyeballing. Jaden Daniels sifting back, being pressured. Jaden Daniels hemmed into the pocket, looking for blockers, looking for something. He's got plenty of time. Launches deep pass into the area of the end zone.
Caught it.
And it's caught by Noah Brown. He was the tip man, and this place is now gone into bedlam mode. Washington with the miracle finish. The breakup pass into the waiting arms of Noah Brown. Nobody back there. Crushing loss. 18-15 Washington. Hail Mary. 2 seconds left. Or as they like to say here, Hail Washington.
That was the Chicago Bears radio network with the call. Certainly the play of the season so far in the NFL. Part of it, obviously, because of who threw it. The absolute lock at this point for the offensive rookie of the year, a guy that's in the conversation for the MVP in his rookie season. I'll also mention, I think, the head coach. Well, I'll hold back on that. I'll get to that in my game take. All right, before I get to the things that I thought were good, bad, and other, Denton, your big takeaways from the game were what?
Damn, we were right about Jaden Daniels. Damn, he is the savior. I mean, it's hard to have a big takeaway that is not solely revolving around Jaden Daniels, because that play is one of the best plays that we have ever seen. And a reminder, we got our Twitter poll as the best regular season play ever at the Team 980 on Twitter. My answer to that is a definitive yes, just because we've never seen a team win a game, at least our team win a game, on a Hail Mary. So it's hard not to be drawn to that as the biggest takeaway. Though I will say, one of the things that really stood out throughout the course of the game, and I had to watch this late because I was at a wedding. Imagine how thrilled I was when we won on a Hail Mary and I was somewhere else. Terry McLaurin and Jaden Daniels and Zach Ertz and Jaden Daniels are really developing a great chemistry. I mean, Terry just had his third 100-yard receiving game of the season so far. He's on pace for over 1,200 yards, which would be a career high for him. And I suspect that that is only going to get bigger and bigger in terms of the yards that he's going to be on pace from, because I think we're going to see a lot more of these kind of performances to the point where it's almost regular to expect that Terry is going to be flirting with 100 yards. So I've been really impressed the way that those two guys, and then throwing Zach Ertz in there as well, have been able to develop a chemistry. And then, like what you said about the defense, granted, Caleb Williams did not play very well for the first three quarters, but the defense has done a really good job building. You know, they played an awful team last week, and they played a couple weeks before that an awful team against Cleveland. But I do think they've used those performances to build enough confidence to, even when you're standing in front of what is supposed to be a good offensive team, with Chicago leading up to this game, they had been putting together some really strong performances offensively. I mean, Caleb had been putting together some really strong performances offensively, and it felt like Joe Witt's guys just absolutely crushed his spirits in the first three quarters. So I was really impressed with the way the defense played. Obviously, that swift run kind of set things off in a wrong direction, but outside of that, I thought the defense played really, really well.
Yeah, I think they did too. And I'm going to get to them here on the list of things that I liked. Now, the fourth quarter, not so much, you know, really beginning with the end of the third quarter and throughout. But there's a lot there to kind of, you know, sort through when you get, you know, some true expert opinion on the all 22. Like, was there stuff there and Caleb just didn't see it? Are they asking Caleb to do way too much? It seems like it. You know, I'm not putting this all on him. I'm not putting four completions, 36 yards with 10 minutes to go in the fourth quarter solely on him, because I think it looks like they're asking him to do an awful lot. You know, he's up there at the line of scrimmage. He appears to be not only involved in checking to the right plays, but protection schemes. It just seems like there's a lot on his plate. What was interesting is what they really did in their last three wins, they didn't do much of quick games, screens, although there were some screens that got disrupted, but I couldn't tell if it was disrupted by defense or disrupted by his uncertainty. He appeared to be a bit nervous in the game. You know, he slid on a third and two, a yard short of a first down when he had an opportunity to go get it. The defense, here's what we've said all along. The defense has a couple of good players. You know, Luvu's legit good. And they play with great enthusiasm and energy. You know, and sometimes that combination can get you to at least average. But anyway, look, I'm going to I put together just a short list of the, you know, regular season all-time plays, memorable plays. I'll get to that. I think yesterday unequivocally is the greatest game-ending play in franchise history, period. But there are some other regular season beauties that that we'll never forget. Not like yesterday. I'm not sure. I'm pretty sure of that. All right, let me get to my game take. We'll start with the things that I liked. And I'll start with the end of the game, and not just the final play of the game, but the play that came before it. And you've got to hang some culpability on the opponent. There's a level of incompetence by the Bears bench on the final two plays and the players that it's hard. If you're in Chicago today, you're probably wowed by Jaden Daniels. You are also absolutely incensed at the way the final two plays were played, because you start with 6 seconds to go and the ball at their own 35-yard line. You can't throw a Hail Mary from your own 35-yard line. You know, typically you can't, because you're going to drop back and the throw's probably going to come from 70-plus yards away. You know, 75 typically after the drop back and the runaround. You had to get that play before, and the Bears did not play the sidelines. They did not play the boundary. They did not cover that. I mean, that is, you've got to know, you've as an NFL coach, 6 seconds to go, you can throw the out for 10, 15 yards and still have another snap. You know, if it's 4 seconds to go, probably not. Now you're playing Hail Mary defense, or, you know, some level of it, because from the 35-yard line, really going to be hard for them to get it to the end zone. But you've got to know, Chicago-wise, that you got to play the boundaries. Romo called it before, but we all called it. I mean, if you've ever played Madden, you're calling it. If you've ever watched any football, you're like, oh my God, they're not covering the sideline. Throw the quick out. Let's get it up to the 50 so we can take a legitimate Hail Mary shot. By the way, something really interesting about that play, because I've now gone back and watched a lot of the you know, incredible, you know, shenanigans over the final few minutes of the game, because it really was complete insanity everywhere. I mean, going back to the fumble by number 68 at the goal line on third and goal. But you know who's running to tell Eberflus to play the boundaries, to cover the sideline? And he sees it from the sideline? Caleb Williams. He could have been yelling about something else, but it looks like he's waving his players up before that snap. Go watch what Caleb Williams is doing on the sideline prior to that play at the 35-yard line, the 13-yard completion to Terry McLaurin that gets it to the 48. It looks like Caleb Williams is telling his head coach, what are we doing? Get these guys up. He's going to throw the out. Wow. That is high-level, incompetent coaching. Really bad. You've got to know, this should be like in the handbook of how we play, you know, up three, up whatever, 6 seconds to go. 6 seconds to go is time to get that out. I think it's 4 seconds or less where you're not concerned necessarily about playing the out. But even if it's really quick, it could be a 3 second play. I probably feel safer. 3 seconds or less, they can't do it. 6 seconds, of course they can do it. You've got to play the boundary defensively. That is a massive mistake by the Bears. Massive. Why? Because if you're playing the boundaries, you're playing the sidelines, Jaden's got to throw the ball in the field of play. And at that point, you're into, you know, pitch and lateral mode. And it does work occasionally. But it's probably not going to work, and the game's probably going to end with somebody trying to pitch it backwards from about the 50-yard line. So give Washington credit for knowing that if they don't take away the sidelines, we're going with the quick out for 10 to 15 yards and getting ourselves into position to throw a Hail Mary. Because if you don't have that play, you can't throw the Hail Mary into the end zone. That's a massive, massive part. Look, when you have that kind of an ending, it usually takes two to tango, as they say. The next play, the Hail Mary itself. So there are a couple of things here. I'm sure everybody has seen the Tyreek Stevenson video at this point. The dude who got into it with Terry during the game, tried to poke Sam Cosmi through his eyes, got flagged through his face mask, and got flagged for that. Seemed to be matched up on Terry a lot, much more than Jalen Johnson. I'm curious as to how that happened. You know, we'll be able to see more of that today. But he's jawing and mouthing to the crowd as the play begins. They put a stopwatch on this thing, 4.1 seconds before he realizes that the play has already begun. They're already 4.1 seconds into the play. He's over looking at the sideline. He's literally on close to the sideline, not where he's supposed to be, back near the goal line defensively. And he's jawing back and forth with the fans. He's waving like the game is over. Holy God. I know that he apparently apologized profusely on social media. And look, I've gotten to that point in life. It's like, with young people, they make mistakes. They do stupid things. You know, you got it. If they take accountability, then, you know, you give them another shot. You know, I'm sure there are people screaming to cut him today. He does not get back into the play until Jaden has already run around for four of what turned out to be 6.5 seconds that he ran around for, 7 seconds that he ran around for. I mean, that's incredible. And by the way, he's the one that tipped the ball backwards to Noah Brown. I don't know what his responsibility was on the play. If he's the guy that was supposed to be the guy that doesn't let anybody behind him, that is a bad moment. But you know what? Young people make mistakes. It's only football. Nobody's going to die. Everybody's going to keep breathing. So, you know, next. But God, that was embarrassing. That was so bad. But the play itself. So let's start with the first part of it. Jaden extending and extending and extending. I mean, Mahomes, Lamar, you know, they're Josh. 4, 5, 6 guys can extend a play for 6 seconds. But, you know, Chicago only rushes 3. They also have 53, I think it was, Edwards as a spy. Why are you spying the quarterback? I think one reason you spy the quarterback is because of who the quarterback is. You know, like, is he going to run 52 yards for a touchdown? No, but he could run 30 yards and throw the ball across the field laterally to somebody. Like, he's the kind of quarterback you do worry about making some sort of ridiculous, sensational play. But how many times do we see, a quarterback run the 52 yards, not by himself, with help, laterals, you know, to other players. Anyway, Washington kept Eckler back to protect. You know, they sent 4 down. They sent McCaffrey and Ertz. They were the jumpers, so to speak, to try to go up and catch it or tip it. Terry is trailing the play. He's at about the 4 or 5 yard line, and Noah Brown's responsibility clearly is to get back behind any defender in case it gets tipped in that direction. They executed the play perfectly, but it all starts with Jaden being able to run around for 7 seconds against a 3-man rush and a dude that's spying and basically not in the play. Because Jaden isn't going to run. Give the offensive line credit. You know, nobody holds. There was a bit of a crackback, a little bit of one, but not, you know, I didn't think one worth, you know, penalizing for. No one is downfield illegally. Like, that's a hell of a job by the offensive line to be that disciplined and to stay with it for the 6 to 7 seconds. And then this dude, you know, he works himself into the perfect spot. He gives his players plenty of time to get set up. He also, by the way, gave Stevenson time to get back into the play. I'm kidding, of course. But he finds that opportunity, too, to step up and, you know, throw the football with forward momentum, getting his whole body into the throw. And then comes the second part of the play. The throw is perfection. You know, one of the reasons Aaron Rodgers, you know, is so good at that and has completed like four of them is he's got the arm strength clearly, but he throws it with incredible loft arc. You got to throw that ball up into the air. It's got to be, you know, it's got to be fly ball shagging time. You got to be back there trying to fly, shag a fly ball in the outfield. And he throws that ball 65 yards, give or take a yard. I don't have the analytics on the throw yet, Dan. Maybe you can find them. I'm sure somebody's put them out there. And it's way up in the air. He gave his receivers all the time in the world, and he throws the ball perfectly. Now, Chicago only rushes three. We've talked about this before in Hail Marys. I'm personally never rushing three. I'm rushing four, sometimes five. I want that throw to happen quickly. You know, it does depend on where they're throwing it from. But if you're on the other side of half field, of midfield, as Washington was, of the 50-yard line like Washington was, I'm making him get rid of it quickly. If you're at the 40, you know, and it's going to be more of a throw versus, you know, a true Hail Mary, all right, I probably have to be careful to, you know, not let him get it away against, you know, man coverage or without, you know, more doubles back, you know, behind me. But I'm not rushing three. That's always a recipe for at least a chance. And then Chicago makes the absolute cardinal sin of Hail Mary defense. Nobody gets behind you. Nobody. And Noah Brown got behind the play, and he was there by himself. It was one of the easiest endings to a Hail Mary play we've ever seen. I mean, Stevenson tips the ball. I don't know if Ertz got a fingertip on it. It's really hard to see. He did a good job of really contending for it. But Stevenson's the one that's up and tip. And instead of, you know, trying to bat it, it wasn't the easiest to bat. You know, I'm not going to say that he should have batted it. It was really obvious. Just getting his hand on it was enough. And, you know, but the ball, you know, obviously goes backwards. And history. Greatest game-ending play in franchise history. There was so much to it, though. Chicago was culpable with real incompetence on the last two plays. And an absolute selfish, you know, youthful mistake. If he's the guy that was supposed to be the last guy, you know, making sure nobody gets behind him or boxing out that guy that's behind him, whew, that's going to be rough for him. But the play before... What is Eberflus thinking? Did you get that sound, Denton, for me?
Yes, I did. Also, air yardage was 65 air yards on that throw.
That's a hell of a throw. Okay, let's not talk about his arm strength anymore. There were people actually that said he doesn't have an NFL, high-level NFL arm. Yeah, he does. Yes, he does. Matt Eberflus, the coach of the Bears, in his postgame, gave one of the biggest head-scratching answers I've ever heard. We've heard a lot of them from coaches who really don't at times. I know it sounds crazy because we're just fans, but they sometimes don't understand some of this game management stuff. Cooley's always said it's because they watch film, they don't watch games. There is a reason that so many coaches don't get some of this stuff at the end, but he was asked about the throw to Terry. The why they weren't covering the boundary, why they weren't covering the sideline. Here's what he said.
That second last play before Hail Mary, 13-yard strike, they get out of bounds in 2 seconds. Are you preparing that play for them to run some kind of shots at the end zone laterally, or is that something where you're – how do you look back on that spot?
Yeah, because you're defending touchdown, right? You're defending touchdown there, and them throwing a ball for 13 yards or 10 yards, whatever that is, doesn't really matter. It's always going to come down to that last play. And it came down to a two-second play to the last play, and we got to execute on that one.
That is honestly one of the worst answers I've ever heard from a head coach for a specific play. Doesn't matter? It's all that mattered. They can't throw the Hail Mary if they don't complete that pass, dude. Are you serious? Wow. That's one of those where if I'm the owner of the team, you'd be hard-pressed to have me not sitting down saying, let me get this straight. You don't think the 13-yard pitch and catch, four-second play didn't matter? It's all that mattered. It gave them a chance to do what they did on the next play. They wouldn't have had a chance to do that. Now, maybe they would have won on one of those wild pitch, lateral backwards, you know, crazy California Stanford, you know, band plays. But they're not going to win on a Hail Mary. Number one on the things of what I liked list is the last two plays of the game from Washington's perspective. They played it perfectly. Chicago played it incompetently. Number two on the list of the things that I liked. Jaden should have been number one on the list, but I've put him number one on the list every week. He's going to be number three on this list. Number two is this, because it sort of happens chronologically. I think the overall readiness of this football team week in and week out has been impressive, especially, you know, considering what we've witnessed in recent years. Dan Quinn and his staff just seem to have this group, you know, operating at a high level emotionally, you know, intellectually too. The X's and O's have been great, but, you know, sometimes, you know, it's like, what comes first, the enthusiasm or the winning? I don't know, but this team is always energetic. It's always enthusiastic. It's always flying around with urgency. It doesn't always produce, especially on defense, the best of results, but it's the old, you know, coach's, you know, axiom, you know, if you make a mistake, make it going 100 miles an hour, make it at full speed. They're a full speed team. You know, they're a 100% effort team. That goes for both sides of the ball and special teams. Dan Quinn promised all offseason that you would know and you'd be able to recognize that his team will play with a high motor, they'll play with urgency, they'll play with enthusiasm, they'll play fast, they'll play physical. That's what they've done this year. He has delivered on that. And like I said, it's not just about that, you know, which is a cultural thing. It's a coaching belief, you know. I know people say, well, that should be a given with a professional athlete. Yeah, I guess it should be, but it isn't always. Not every team plays with great enthusiasm. Look at their bench during the game. Everybody seems to be engaged, you know, and really immersed in it. I've already heard a couple of times, man, there's a brotherhood here that I haven't experienced anywhere else. That's, you know, in that locker room, that's Dan Quinn. That's Adam Peters for picking the right kind of players. They had an aligned vision, you know, air quotes, aligned vision. And it's one of the reasons they came together. It's one of the reasons they fell in love with Quinn, is that everything he believed in matched up with what Adam Peters believed in. And then he had the clout to pull it off, because of the experience and because of the way people think about him around the league. But the X's and O's part, man, I mean, the intellectual part, they seem to have down as well. You know, these games, they seem to be well prepared. You know, on offense, that's been really obvious all year long. Kingsbury seems to be a step ahead of the defensive coordinator every week. And I thought yesterday, last evening, I thought Joe Witt Jr.'s defense seemed to be a step ahead of what Shane Waldron in Chicago was doing offensively, certainly through three quarters or almost three quarters. They seemed to show a lot of pre-snap stuff. They seemed to confuse Caleb. I mean, Dan Quinn right now, look this up, Denton. I'm going to guess, because I know Kevin O'Connell was the favorite, I'm going to guess that Dan Quinn is the favorite right now to be the NFL coach of the year. I mean, nine games left, of course. All right, the rest of what I liked, and then the short list of what I did not like when we return. Kevin Sheehan Show, the Team 980, theteam980.com. We're free and live on the Odyssey app.